Good morning and welcome to the New Orleans Imperative, the radio show that talks about public education and the unpopular truths in this publicly private school system. This is Renard Sanders. I'm your host here, and we're here every Monday morning, and we would like to welcome our new listeners. And if you are transitioning to a computer, you can listen to us online at www.wbok1230am.com. That's www.wbok1230am.com. For the last 7 years, and probably a little bit more than that, the Recovery School District, which has taken over most of our public schools in the city, has drastically changed the landscape. And in changing this landscape, they have closed schools, they have opened schools, they've created schools, they extended schools contracts, amongst a lot of community controversy. Most of the time, these changes were done over community objections, and most of the time they just did it at will, without any public input into the direction of the schools in that community. We have talked about over the last 4 years, we've had several communities on, the Clark community, the John McDonough community. We've had representatives here from COIN that all had concerns about the autocratic leadership of the Recovery School District in making decisions about their schools and their communities. Recently, we have had the closure of an elementary school called Mays Charter Elementary School. And this is a school that has been created by the Recovery School District. It is a charter. But this is also the third time this school has been changed post-Katrina. It has been under the control of the Recovery School District since then. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, when they deem that schools are not working, they close them. When they then they open new ones, and when those are not working, they close them. And much to the dismay of the parents. And while all of this is going on, many of these schools produce some very poor academic results and test scores. So we have an issue going on with the Mays Charter School, and with us this morning we have activist and parent advocate Karen Harper-Royer. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
And I want to thank you for coming on the program. And we have a parent, Miss Kenesha Nelson. How you doing, Kenesha?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay, and I want to thank you for coming on the program. So, Karen, could you get us started and give us a little historical perspective? Because the school started out as Carver Elementary.
Well, not technically.
Okay, well,
not technically.
Yeah, okay.
Mays Prep Charter School was one of the second round of charter schools started that was incubated or supported by New Schools for New Orleans, and it opened up in 2009 under the principal at that time, Duke Bradley, and their board president at that time was Michael Schwamm Baird, who worked for New Schools for New Orleans several years ago.
We got to talk about these connections between this New Schools for New Orleans that fund these schools and all of their workers are board members. You know, we got to talk about that.
So Mays Prep was opened, back in 2009, and at that time Carver Elementary was operating by the Recovery School District. And then for the 2011-2012 school year, the Recovery School District decided that it did not want to operate Carver anymore. Carver and Mays share a campus, a physical campus. But at the time, Mays Prep was, you know, adding a new grade each year. And they had not yet reached their full complement of grade levels. When the Recovery School District convinced them to take on the students from Carver Elementary. So they didn't take over Carver, the school. They took on the students, which meant that they had to accelerate adding a grade, where many of the new charter schools come on and they have the luxury of adding one grade at a time. Mays Prep was a new school, just, you know, chugging along, trying to make it. And here comes a Recovery School District say, hey, why don't you just take on these additional kids? Their school is failing. And I believe that hastened the low performance of Mays. Some of the schools, let's take if you look at Achille got to add on a grade, one grade at a time, and they are, I think they're now a C-rated charter school. The leadership at Mays Prep was not given that opportunity. Some may say, well, they could have just said, no, we don't want it. But that's not exactly how this works.
That's never the plan. The plan is always to take over the direct run schools.
Right. So
under different kind of circumstances.
Right. So yeah. Mays Prep was coerced into taking on the Carver students. And so that was the 2011-2012 school year. And here we are, the 2012-2013 school year, and last spring, after the test scores came out, Mays Prep's scores were not looking too good. They were ranked F. And the Bessie Board made the decision last December not to renew Mays's charter. Now, they made that decision for several charter schools, and for some of the other charter schools, other charter operators picked them up. But for reasons we don't know, that did not happen with Mays Prep. So not only do those Carver students who lost their placement at Carver have to find new schools, now the Mays parents have to find new schools for their children. And that's the tragedy in this. I've been to many Bessie Board meetings when they decide that they're going to close a school, and I literally saw one Bessie Board member basically clap her hands, yay, 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 this means it's working. If a school doesn't make it, we just close it down. But nobody thinks about the children and what they have to go through. They promise these parents that this will give their children an opportunity to go to higher performing schools. And I think your other guest, Ms. Nelson, will have a little bit to say about that, because they told Carver parents that they would get priority in the one app process. And the parents dutifully filled out their applications. And I have several letters here from several of the parents whose new school placement in many cases is worse or not a whole lot better. Because if you're going to close my F school and send me to a D school, then you're doing to that school what was done to Mays. And so will we look 2 years down the road at the new school? I got a letter here, a parent, her kids are going to Craig, have been assigned to Craig. Well, Craig is an F school. Why are you sending these two babies over to Craig, even though it's under new management? It's an F school. So are you setting up the Friends of King who operate Craig? Are you setting them up for failure in two more years when their charter is reviewed? We really have to stop and look at this to see if we're really making progress, or are we moving around the chairs on the deck of the Titanic?
Very interesting. So Mays accepts the kids from Carver for 2 years. 2 years later, they're told that they're underperforming and now they have to close. And now the parents are given the option of going to other schools and use this one app program that they participated in. And what kind of guarantees did they give to the parents, Karen, before I talk to Ms. Nelson?
Well, they were given priority. That's not a guarantee.
Okay, priority that they would put them in a great school.
That they would get their choice.
Their choice, because obviously they can't put them in a great school because they have no great school.
Well, when you have 79% of the Recovery School District
failure
charter schools as DRFs and 100% of the Recovery School District's direct run schools as DRF, and there are not a lot of great schools for any parent to choose
after seven years
of reform.
So this is like the dog chasing its tail, so to speak. So, Ms. Nelson, you have a child who attended Mays Charter, right?
Yes.
And as Karen has talked, school closed. And then could you take us from there and tell us how they started communicating with you?
Basically, we found out the week before. We were never formally told that the school was closing. The kids were actually coming home telling the parents, our school is closing. So then they had a meeting for us with RSD. When they came, it was not to speak with the parents on how we felt about it. It was basically to throw us the one app and tell us choose a school out of there. We were not allowed to ask any questions. They kept telling us, we're not here for that. We're just here to help you fill out the one app. So with that being said, inside the one app, as we looked, just about every other school in there was failing or they had a D. They didn't give us the option to choose Lush or anything like that, because had you told us at the beginning of the school year, we could have met those requirements for those schools for their application process. So when you told us, it was already over for those schools. So what you're saying is, we're going to take your child from one failing school and we're going to throw them back in our system, and then we're just going to keep bouncing them around. In my case, I'm very upset about it because my seven-year-old, I brought my nieces on this year to this school. I took them from their school and put them with my son because I felt like it was a good school and I felt like it was working. My son actually started out in pre-K at McDonald 15. His teacher left and went to Mays, and she asked me to take him with her for kindergarten. And I felt like that was the best thing that I ever done for him. Because my son was going through a lot. Like, when he started pre-K, he started school on a Monday. That Saturday, I buried my husband. So he had a lot of emotional things going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And 15 did not understand what he was going through. At Mays Prep, they do each child individually on what is needed for that child. It's not a group thing. Okay, we're going to do this. But they gave us no chances to discuss anything, you know, with RSD. I was told when I tried to set up a meeting with the superintendent of RSD by Dana Peterson that the superintendent will not meet with you people. So I was trying to find out what kind of people was he talking about. I've reached out to so many people, and I don't see where I'm getting the help. I reached out to Kira Jones, who gives me the runaround. I just reached out to Sarah Houston. She called me back, and, I mean, she basically said nothing that I needed to hear. Wesley Bishop, he came around one day. I've left messages for him. Never heard anything else. Cynthia Cade and Ira Thomas, I went to them with a petition from the parents asking them to take over, Orleans Parish, to take over our school. We haven't heard anything back yet, and time is winding down. We have 360 kids who are sad, who are unhappy, because they have to leave their safety net. Because for them, Mays is a safety net. It's a family. I mean, the principal is great. The teachers are great. And it's just so sad because we can't get the help that we deserve. As I looked in the one app, there are several other schools that are closing, but the wording of it kind of bothered me because for those schools, it said they had guaranteed seats at certain schools, but our school was the only, like Abelson Elementary School, currently enrolled students have a guarantee to attend Renew Schaumburg Elementary School next year. Now, ours said Benjamin E. Mays Preparatory Academy, currently enrolled students will receive high priority to all elementary schools participating in the public school enrollment process. I need to know what was different about our school.
Yeah.
But what I did notice is our school was ran, it was African-American ran by our board. The other schools, they have Caucasian boards. So I'm trying to find out, is it a racial profiling or what's really going on?
Now, so you, Ms. Nelson, you filled out this application and you made some selections where you wanted your child to go, correct? Did you get that application? Did they process it? Did you get it returned?
Yes, they did process it. And I learned afterwards, if you put on there, if you also apply for a voucher, they didn't even give you choice. Like, my first choice for my kids was Benjamin Franklin Elementary.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get that choice because they told me afterwards, because they should have told me before I did the application process, if you apply for a voucher, that they automatically just give you a voucher. They just wipe out whatever else you put on that app. So in doing that, they gave me a voucher for my three kids that attend Mays. Well, two of them, and one of them is in Hunter McDonald 15. But the two second graders, they gave them a voucher to attend Upper Room, which is one of the lowest performing private schools there is. So I have an issue with that. So I contacted Kira and I asked her, I said, I'm concerned because now there is an issue as far as the vouchers. Who's going to pay for this? So what do I do when school opens and
good
no one
point.
Knows where the funding is coming from?
Good point. Real
so
good point.
She told me that, I'm going to find out about that. I haven't heard anything yet at all. And then I have a daughter that just graduated from eighth grade. If you're telling me it's the parents' choice, my two choices were McDonald 35 and McMaine. She didn't get assigned to any school. I received a letter saying that I needed to do round two because she was not assigned. So when I went back from round two, they tried to convince me to put some of the RSD schools that were on there. But if you're telling me it's the parents' choice, my child My choice for my child was McDonald 35 and McMaine. So in return, I did those same two choices again, and I told them they're going to have to figure it out. And if you don't give her one of those choices, when I come back from round three, it's going to be the same thing. I'm not going to change my mind because I am the parent, and you're telling me it's my choice.
School choice. School choice.
Right.
Wow. So we have a, you know, this is interesting, Ms. Nelson. I mean, they give you, you don't apply for a voucher school. You apply for other schools, and they give you a voucher school, and they give you a school that I think has 78% of the kids have failed the LEAP.
Right.
But yet they tell you that they're moving your child to a better situation.
Right.
We have to define better. Well, people need
obviously,
to understand that.
Yeah.
Just because it's a few points better, although voucher schools don't even get a school performance label, but just because it may be a few points better in the traditional system, but if it's still an F, or even if it's a D, because Mays was a D when it took on the students from Carver.
So it was already a D.
It was a D. And so that, you know, my thing is, did taking on those new students hasten the demise of the school? So somebody told those Carver parents, well, your kids now get to go to Mays, which is a better school.
Right.
But, you know, yes, it was a better school, but it was still struggling to establish itself, struggling to make it. And why was Mays not given a T for transition as Renew Charter Schools have been given? When Renew took over Laurel and what's the one uptown on Constant Street?
Live Oak.
Initially, those two schools were Fs. But when you look at the state's website, they now have a T instead of an F. So that means that Renew will not have to face what the Mays Charter Organization had to face, being put out of business, basically, because they took on the challenge of educating children who needed a place to go.
Well, you know,
Is it racial?
Yeah. Well, I think you mentioned something earlier, and that is that we need to define better because, you know, the scenario you explained just does not make any sense. Yes, yet we have other charter operators that have D schools and F schools, and they get more schools. You know, I mean, they get more schools. So, and I think Ms. Nelson, you bring up a good point. You know, you see some schools that are closed where those kids are guaranteed seats. Other schools, you guys, like, you have to pick. You don't pick. You just get what they give you.
Right. And like I said, we're the only school out of the four schools that are closing. Everyone else has said guaranteed seats. Ours is the only one that is worded differently. We get priority.
Now, let me ask you this question, because, Ms. Nelson, because, you know, one of the things that you hear from the Recovery School District and all of this stuff about this great reform is that we finally have school choice. And school choice, and this is going to make a difference, and that the kids were stuck in failing schools pre-Katrina, right, as if you had to go to your district school. Now, I was a principal probably when you were in high school at John McDonough, and you were at Kennedy, okay? But at Kennedy and at John McDonough, we had kids from outside of the district that went to Kennedy and John McDonough. So that's really not true.
Right.
And historically, kids have always gone outside of the attendance zone to attend schools. But as a parent, when you hear school choice, what does that mean to you?
To me, it means I choose where I want to send my kids, but that's not actually what they're doing. You know, like I said, they're trying to convince me to put a bunch of RSD schools for my daughter that I choose not to send her to. So as of this point, it's May. School is out for her. She has no high school to attend at this point in time.
Now, wouldn't it be great if the state legislature could expand the seats at McMaine or McDonough 35 so that your child could indeed go to a better school, a school that has for the last 7 years that it's been open enrollment, proven that it could keep its head above water with an open enrollment situation? Because that is your choice. Your choice
right.
was an Orleans Parish high school, OPSB high school, right?
Right.
So wouldn't it be the ideal solution if rather than sending you to a school that was not your choice, that they would just open up a seat for you because you were supposed to have priority. That would be priority to me.
Right. Like I said, RSD, I feel as if RSD and Kira Jones from the Bessie Board, they're passing the buck. Nobody really wants to deal with our situation. I feel that we have not been treated fairly. We're not getting the same help that other schools are getting that are in the same situation as us. And I don't see where closing the school down is what's best for the kids. Why not send us the people we need to get us where we need to be? Because then we have a situation where kids are moving from school to school every year. As a child, I went to one elementary school, one high school. That was it. I never had to be bounced around. I just feel as since Katrina, our kids have been bounced around this city. So when you send kids uptown who live in the lower Ninth Ward, that means they're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning now to get on the bus for 6? That makes no sense to me. There's no other school in that area for those kids. I am a parent that has a car. Every parent does not have a car. So these people need places where their kids can go and they can walk to their kids. They can go to school functions. So now you're blocking the parents out when you send these kids uptown and I can't get to my child's report card conference. I can't come to programs. What are you saying?
Interesting.
I understand that there's maybe about 80 or 90 parents at Mays who have not even applied. Do you think they're just disgusted with the whole thing?
They're very disgusted. We have one family with 5 kids that are all in separate schools. We have kindergartners that are twins at Mays Prep that are now going to be separated.
That's outrageous.
When we asked the question, because I was the parent that wanted to know, are these kids going to be kept together? Dana Peterson's words to me was, oh, these kids are all going to stay together. You all have first priority. That didn't happen. We have some people, some grandparents at Mays Prep, we have a lot of grandparents that are raising these kids. So how do they get one child at the bus stop for 6, one at 7? That's too much.
You know, it's like it's just outrageous. No regard. Let's do a little housekeeping right quick. You're listening to the New Orleans Imperative, and we're talking with Karen Harper-Royal, a parent advocate and a parent, Miss Kenesha Nelson, and we're talking about the closing of Mays Charter School and the way that these parents, schools have, the method that the school was closed, and also how the kids are just being placed at in parts around us, in different parts of the city, in different schools in the city. If you wish to call in and have a question or comment, you can call in at 504-260-9265. That's 504-260-9265. If you're transitioning to a computer, you can listen to us online at www.wbok1230am.com. That's wbok1230am.com. Ms. Nelson, I want to go back a little bit and kind of get into the weeds, so to speak, about some other things that you talked about. Did you, prior to you guys having that meeting, did the parents have any indication that the school was possibly subject to closure, even before the kids came? I mean, before your kids started
coming?
Well,
yeah, we did know that possibly we were going to be closing. We knew nothing definitely at the time. When the school found out, they let us know. But in my heart, I feel as though RSD knew they were going to close us down a year ago. As you look at the one app, there's no publication date on here. Our school was already taken out of this one app when we received it in January. So that's not a transition that just happened within time that you told
it's
us.
It's not even in the parents'
it's
guide.
So in other words, they eliminate. Now, who does the parent guide again?
The New Orleans Parent Organizing Network, so, in conjunction now with the Recovery School.
So they didn't even put the school in for next year and didn't tell you guys anything.
Right.
Now, let me ask this question. You mentioned a good point. You know, I think you characterize it really well. You know, you have twins going to different schools. We got 5 kids in one household going to different schools. Would you have felt better if last year or the beginning of this year, they would have said, the Recovery School District would have come to May's charter with the knowledge of the parents, saying, look, you're in trouble. These are some of the things that we want to help you to do, rather than just to put them out there on the market, so to speak. And would you have felt better as if they tried in some form or fashion?
Yes, because then that would have given me more options. I could have went to Lake Forest Charter for my son, because my second grader is on a fourth grade level. So he can compete with kids at Lusher, Lake Forest Charter, what have you, those schools, Benjamin Franklin Elementary. So you didn't give me the chance to expand his knowledge and his work if you just give me the one app the week before it's supposed to be given out and tell me your school is closing, choose a school out of here.
There's so much for community involvement. The Recovery School District loves to say that. And you know, when John White came, they put all on their letterhead, community, community, right? And look what they did.
They put on their excellence also.
Oh, well, we know they're definitely not excellent. We're going to take our first caller, Miss Vanessa Gehringer. Good morning, Miss Gehringer.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. Hi, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Good
morning.
And Karen at Benjamin Mays. I called to weigh in on this because actually, I sent an email to J.P. Morrell, Wesley Bishop, Senator Landrieu's aide, Laverne Sawney, Ira, and Cynthia Cade this morning regarding Benjamin Hayes, because you all know they were Ira and Wesley was at the rally almost a month ago, and Ira and Cynthia pledged their support at that school board meeting. So I've heard nothing either about anything regarding Mays, you know, and to hear the frustration and the stress in that parent's voice about not knowing where her child or children are going to go come August, really, I mean, it just totally upsets me. You know, it's just for these children, Katrina, over and over and over again. When is it ever going to end? When are these differences going to stop? You know, because it sounds like racism, and it is racism when you talk about this operator is African American versus the operators at the other schools that are going to remain open. You know, when is it going to end? I'm seeing kids being dropped off after dark in my neighborhood.
You know, many of those kids, you know, Vanessa, as Ms. Nelson has said, you know, those kindergarten and first grade kids have 12-hour days.
Right.
You know, and we don't work 12 hours.
You know, how could that ever be conducive to learning? You know, when you're riding a bus 2 hours in the morning and you're riding back 2 hours in the evening.
And New Orleans is certainly not that big. And, I mean, you don't do that in rural communities.
No.
In rural communities, they don't put kids on the bus that long.
No. So I'm saying, you all, we're going to keep this fight going. But
yeah.
I'm saying we need to call out these people, because I'm tired of people just passing the buck, being silent,
yeah.
You know, not taking a stand,
yeah.
You know, and then come election time, they show up in our communities and ask for our support. Well, you're hurting our children.
And you know, I think you make a point, and Ms. Nelson made a point, you know, the responsibility of the Recovery School District is, and since they control most of the school, is to put good schools in every neighborhood.
Right.
Not to bounce kids around, not to close schools. And as Ms. Nelson has mentioned, they get no forewarning.
No.
You know, and then they say, well, we're not here to answer no questions.
Right.
You know, it's as if they are not public servants, and it's as if Ms. Nelson and the rest of those parents at Mays, you just do what I tell you to do. And we've got to stop it. You're right.
I mean, I actually had a conversation with Dana Peterson at an award ceremony this Saturday, and we had a conversation about Benjamin Mays, and definitely it wasn't good. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, they all sing the same tune, and it predates Dana and all of them. You know, they dictate into the communities, and there's no democratic process. Even though Ms. Nelson pays taxes,
exactly.
And all of those parents pay taxes,
exactly.
It's as if they have no representation.
Right. So we pay taxes. You get all this FEMA money for all these schools in our neighborhood, yet you put no schools back. Okay, yeah, so well, how are
by
kids
design.
Ever going to be vested here? How are they ever going to get a quality education?
By
well,
design.
Well, let me just bring up a point. Mays was supposed to move into the France building.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who is in the France, who will get the France building?
Who's that?
Akili.
Well, look,
Vanessa. And who runs Akili?
I mean,
who runs Akili? Who runs? I don't know who
it
runs
ain't people
it.
Who look like us.
Well, Vanessa, I got to run. I got to. But look, thanks. And look, keep us abreast of, you know, your advocacy that you're doing on behalf of these parents. I know Miss Nelson and other parents are happy that you're doing that and that people are speaking up for them. And they can speak up for themselves, but there are other people also. So keep us abreast, please. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to take Luella Givens on line one. Good morning, Luella.
Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
I'm sitting here listening to you with a heavy heart because the things that you are talking about are things that we predicted four or five years ago.
Yes.
If you remember when Benjamin Mays was first chartered, the young man that came in, his first name was Duke. I've forgotten who he was, what his last name was. But he
Duke
was
Duke Bradley.
Duke Bradley, and he was highly touted because I believe of his experience. Karen, correct me if I'm wrong. Was he from Teach for America?
He was from the New Leaders for New Schools program,
and
he has since gone on to two different other schools since he's left Mays.
And so he very quietly was removed as head of school from Mays without the public's knowledge, and Mays has been struggling since its inception. Now, the parents are supposed to have choice, and choice means that you are supposed to be able to place your child in a higher performing school, not into another failing school, but into a school that is at or above the state average. So the parents are fundamentally being denied the basis upon which the Recovery School District was created. And school choice guarantees you the ability to be able to move your child out of a failing situation into a better performing school. So I don't understand why I'm hearing these parents now say, I can't get my child into a school that will allow him or her to be successful. We have got to find a way to bring some sanity to the insanity.
And you know the sad thing about it, you know, Miss Nelson, you know, is just, you know, she's just trying to take care of her children.
See,
she has her two nieces she's brought there.
Yes.
And now, Miss Nelson, correct, I want you look like they're all going to be separated.
They have the two that are in second grade. They have them together, but the older one,
they're together at Upper Room.
The two, just together in Upper Room.
Wow.
And that is a question for me because I'm not too fond of that. I need to know where's this funding coming from, and I need them, if it's my first choice, I want them at Benjamin Franklin Elementary.
I understand.
And like I said, it's just like we're not getting what we need. I will not give up because I'm all my kids have.
Absolutely.
You know, I have to do this. You know, I'm a single parent. I'm a student. I gave up school this semester because I felt as though my son needed me to fight for him this semester. So I had to put my life on hold for a minute, and I don't mind because I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure he gets the best education,
and
just as well as my other kids.
Now, when we were able to have had BESSE meetings here, parents at least had an opportunity to go before that board and voice the complaint that you are that you're making. Whether the board responded to them or not, at least they were heard and recorded. My problem is that now we don't know when the BESSE is coming. We don't know what's on the agenda. And parents are not getting a chance to let the rest of the world know that this is not working. I was in a meeting this past week where they staunchly defended this one app. They said that one app is the answer to all of our problems. But it can't be if we have a mother sitting here telling you she can't get her children in school.
And she's not alone. I have letters from a couple of other parents at Benjamin Mays who did not get their first choice.
Well, but you know, this story repeats itself. If it's Benjamin Mays, if it's Clark, if it's John McDonough, if it's Coyne, and, you know, even if it's the groups that wrote charters and didn't get charters, it's as if the public is just disengaged from the process, and we have no representation, no voice about what goes on with our public schools.
Now, I heard you say that Bradley, sorry, that Mays is no longer going into the France building?
No, it isn't.
Who's going in now?
Akili.
All right, now, Akili Academy, I was told, was going to go into the new school, was going to be the new school over here on St. Bernard Avenue.
That's right. So and, I think they're going to get France until that new building is ready. And what the Recovery School District is doing right now is playing musical chairs. The Mays portable buildings will be used to house McDonough 42 while McDonough 42 is being renovated. So if you needed to put McDonough 42 children somewhere, why didn't you put them in a France building?
Well, why don't you just make neighborhood schools and let's stop all of it?
Thank you. All right, Luella, look, I got some more callers. But that is the whole issue right there. Because if we do that, we don't have this kind of problem.
Absolutely.
And in reality, we had more school choice pre-Katrina
than we have now. And you can have choice and neighborhood schools.
You can have both of them, you know. But you know, as Ms. Nelson says, you know, there's another parent has two twins. And now they sent it to the, and they're five, what, 6 years old?
They're 5 years, 5 or 6 years old, kindergarten.
Kindergarten kids. And they turn around and they want to tell us that works. Right? And buffaloes can skate too. But Luella, look, I got to run. I got Richard and Daryl.
All right, take care.
And thanks for calling. Uh-huh. Thanks for calling. Good morning, Richard. Welcome again to the New Orleans Imperative.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call, and good morning to Karen.
Good morning.
What I'm calling about is you're talking about that one app. And I'm talking about the opposition mounts against the high school takeover at Walker concerning L.B. Landry. And I really would like to speak to the person from the lens who put that article together about dissolving Landry with his F grade and replacing the school with O'Perry Walker with a B school. Now, they actually aren't a B school. At best, they may be a C school. And much of the success at O'Perry Walker is due directly and indirectly by L.B. Landry. A number of the faculty at O'Perry Walker are Landry graduates. And you can remember the first principal came from L.B. Landry.
Yeah.
And they went on
That's
to
right.
cite some of the accomplishments of O'Perry Walker. And what they fail to realize, the lens, one of the first, most outstanding young man who left away from Landry has a big dental business in Chicago, Clarence Reid.
They
also
yeah.
noted that they talked about how successful O'Perry Walker was with the Fortune 500. They mentioned the mayor. They mentioned the Super Bowl. But they failed to mention that Landry had state championships in football, basketball, baseball, and in tennis, of all things. And all that, and those coaches who they have over at O'Perry Walker, for the most part, are Landry graduate. And I pointed out before, many of the teachers. And what happened with that Patrick Dobaugh and his crowd, what they did was when Landry returned back, I guess, maybe 2-3 years ago, they would not allow parents to select or choose Landry for their kids. They held the 9th and 10th grade, I think, at that time, and of the 9th and 10th grade, a 4th in one grade, a 3rd of the students in the other grades were 2 and 3 grades behind. Now, how can you compare the two schools when you put one school at a disadvantage and applaud the other school? Now, I guess when you look at Jackie Clarkson, look at Tom Arnold, you look at Palmer, and that group over there that controls what goes on in the school system, then we have an uphill battle. And, I mean, you know, it's ludicrous for somebody to even write an article of this nature without really exploring the two schools.
Yeah, and you know, I think you've mentioned, you know, the graduates of Landry, you know, and accomplishments for generations.
And
have been very great,
mostly
not just to New Orleans, to America.
Most of your students that you have at Walker, either their parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, so they have a direct and indirect line of success for the school. But to take and speak without any facts,
I
would have to question the person who was really was assigned to this article.
I know there's a young lady named Williams who writes for The Lens, and I don't know if they listen to this program or not. But if I were you, you know, Richard, I would send her a nice email and say, look, I just need to talk with you because, you know, you are ignoring a whole a very important, rich tradition in the Algiers community, you know.
And then, I'm not going to hold you, after the storm, that was the last job I had was with at L.B. Landry, and many of those kids left from Landry and went to Walker and impacted Walker's academic as well as their athletic programs. That was not pointed out. Then the state championship that they had was when the kids left from Landry, state champions in one of the athletic contests, they went over to Walker and contributed to that program. As you pointed out, I will speak, get in contact with the person.
Yeah, I think her name is Jessica Williams.
Jessica Williams.
Jessica Williams, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's as if our history is ignored. And I know we've had this conversation too, Richard, over the years. You know,
and then if you go back, look, if you start from Farmerville, Louisiana, work your way to Lake Charles, by Scotlandville, all the way down here, all of our HBSC, Historic Black High Schools, they are being dismantled. The names are taken off the buildings, and they're replaced by others. And you know who others are. I think on the 29th, I would like to see all of the people from the West Bank, from Carver, Lawless, Booker T, your school, J.S. Clark, and other Historic Black High Schools to converge on Coin, I think it's next week, and really come out in opposition of what's going on.
Okay.
And we need to run some of these people out of town.
Yeah, we definitely need to do that. Thanks again, Richard. Thank you for calling.
Well, no, thank you.
I'm going to take Daryl. Good morning, Daryl. Welcome again to the New Orleans Imperative.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, and to your guests. Good morning to your guests also.
Good morning.
Now,
Dr. Sanders, we can run these people out of town because we have what they need. And that's our children. If we remove our children and start following their games, as if we have no options, we can shut down this system. Look, the system has always worked against us. Prince George's County in Virginia shut down the school system for more than 4 years. The entire school, rather than integrate, They shut down the
Oh, yeah.
You know, our own governor here in Louisiana, Governor Davis, did the same thing.
You know, and Darrell, in St. Bernard Parish, they closed all of the public schools in integration, backed a truck up to all of the schools, took all the supplies out and brought it across town to white schools and started a private school district to not integrate, you know. So, it's, you know, you're right, it's a history of that.
Yeah, it's a history of it. Going against us. So they're not concerned. They even bring in Reconstruction era tactics. They're using slave tactics. They're dividing the families. They're sending brothers and sisters to different schools, picking them up at different hours of morning. You see all kinds of terrible historical slave tactics and everything else going on here. But I would like for us to get together this summer. We need weekly meetings. We need to develop a strategy because, Ms. Nelson, the reason why they're not hearing you, you have no leverage. And not just Ms. Nelson alone. We don't. We have a lot of complainers, but we're not developing a group, a solid group that could say, look, if we don't get what we want, this is zero. This is what we're going to do.
Now,
we need to develop leverage some kind of way.
Now, Darrell, there is a group that I think you need to bring that to, and they meet Karen and on Mondays? On
the Coalition for Community Schools meets every second Monday.
It's a collaborative group of a lot of people that I think we need to hold that discussion with. Because I know you've called here before with that, and I think that's the proper place to do it.
And you know, the one thing, I don't know if you heard, Darryl, I mentioned that there are about 80 or 90 parents who have not even applied yet. But, you know, anytime you go to meetings at schools, you have a few heroes like Ms. Nelson who step up. But I would say it's very difficult to get the other 99% of the parents to meetings. So a whole lot of work got to be done by somebody to make it possible so that these parents can even get to the information that would help them to make a choice of holding their kids out of school. But until the organization is in place to help get to those parents, that vision of us just pulling our kids out is never going to be realized.
Well, let's do this. Why don't we do this? Because Darryl has made this point, and I think it deserves some time to talk through. We're not just this radio show, but, you know, a group of people that are concerned. Darryl, if you would hold on, let me get your number again. I'm going to give your number to Jim Randall. And I'm going to have Jim to call you for that next meeting. And then you could present that and let's talk that through and see if we can come together on some consensus in terms of what we can do. So we don't have to have Ms. Nelson here, who's a single parent. I mean, in going through all of this, you know, it's just, and it looks like, you know, the longer that we have this recovery school district, the worse it gets. You know, it just gets on and on and on. So, Darryl, just hold on, okay?
Okay.
All right. We're going to take Ronald online. Good morning, Ronald. Welcome to
the All right. I need you to give me some instructions on this one. I've been soloing at it. The reason all the problems you have with RSD and this whole school thing, we feed them our money. We need to repeal the millage. And I'm willing. I did everything as possible that I can do that within my knowledge to do to see about to repeal that millage because they wouldn't be what they do. We fueling them by the money. $500 million are collected every year from the taxes of the homeowners of the city of New Orleans. At the time the school take over, they had other pastors were just as, the school was just as worse as ours. But the number one factor was the money aspect. And that's the whole bottom line, the money. And that's why I don't know why they're treating us like slaves, everything you can dream of, they're doing it. But at the end of the day, we have not talked about repealing the millage. And I would be fair to repeal the millage and start over. The same attitude we had about the tolls on the bridge, let's start them back and start over. We need to have the same attitude about that millage.
Well, I think that's another conversation.
I wish somebody called me. I'm ready.
Well, you will get a call, Ronald. You will get a call now.
I really think that a lot of these ideas.
I've been saying it since 2005. And even when some of these sellout folks that's reaping the benefits, when the millage came up, some of the same people that's calling complaining, some don't call complain because they got programs now. It was all about, we got to have the millage. Don't take the money away. Well, look, they got the money. They look at you like you're crazy, talk to you like you're stupid, don't respect your children, do anything they want to you, and nobody never asks where that money goes.
Well, I'm going to invite you too, Ronald, to the Coalition for Community Schools meetings because that's a place where we can talk about and operationalize these kinds of ideas. We need people who are willing to roll up their sleeves and do the organizing work that it takes to make these ideas actually happen.
Now this group,
I am willing and able, and I've been asking. Every Monday, I call once a Monday and almost say the same thing.
Yeah,
whatever you need me or want me to do, anything,
well, Ronald,
or dress up like a woman.
What we're going to do the next time the meeting is held, I'm going to announce it on this radio.
Okay,
and, matter of fact, I may get an email to announce it, a text message before this is over with, because I think Jim listens. But as soon as I get that information, it'll be a part of my post and pre-script on this radio show and when that meeting is.
So you and Darryl. Anytime, any day, I'll be there. If we're going to repeal that millage, I'll stand. I don't care what it's your hiding to do. You can put my name across it. I'll walk any way they need to walk to get signatures that we need to repeal it. That's $500 million, and we won't have no more conversation.
Take that money away. Yeah.
So it's about money.
Yeah, you're right. That's all it's
about.
Thank
you for taking my call. You got my numbers. I'm ready. I'm ready and willing, and it don't matter what I need to do, I'll do it. Only but one thing I want to do, dress up like a woman. But other than that, I'm good.
All right, Ronald. Take it easy.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
There's a couple of events coming up that I want to announce beginning this afternoon because there are some people who are doing some work. Coalition for Community Schools, C6, which is Coalition Coach Frank's organization have come together to support some actions in solidarity with Chicago. You know, they're closing 54 schools in Chicago. And this in Chicago right now is having a series of marches and protests. They marched this weekend in protest of closing those schools. And so many groups around the country are supporting Chicago because we are all Chicago. We are all facing school closures, especially those urban communities. So this evening, outside of John McDonough High School at 5 o'clock, there will be a protest and press conference, a rally and press conference, followed by a town hall meeting right around the corner at St. Luke's Church. And then on tomorrow, the Orleans Parish School Board meets at 5, but around 4:30, we will be outside, especially with some of the Mays parents, outside of the Orleans Parish School Board meeting, calling for our state legislators to act right now while they are in session to expand seats at the Orleans Parish School Board schools so that they can take in parents, such as parents whose schools are being closed down, children whose schools are being closed down. That's something they can do right now.
And you know, the other thing, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, you know, and probably Miss Nelson has never heard of Bethune Elementary School because it doesn't get any publicity. And it is a Orleans Parish school, and it's
rated B,
has some of the best scores in it. But once again, because they are Orleans Parish, the press gives them no PR.
And they don't have space. They were at the last school board meeting asking for us a building, too.
They were at the meeting with us when we presented our petition.
And it looks like they should expand that program.
Right, they were very, very sympathetic with Mays Prep. They told us if it was anything they can do to help us, they didn't mind. But as Karen said, we need those seats to be opened up so these people can help us and take our kids out of the situations they're in.
The people that are doing well with schools are ignored. You know, the success that all these parishes had is as if they are ignored, right? So now they're going to send your kid over to Upper Bible Room, which is no success. Right.
None.
You know, so, I mean, this whole school choice and all of this stuff about putting your child in a good school is, as they say, a hot mess, and it's not designed.
But they take advantage. The whole school reform movement has taken advantage of parents who are in desperate need for a quality school experience for their children. Yeah. They know that you will jump on whatever it is they dress up and present. Now, look at the advertising campaigns of some of the schools.
Oh, God.
These are slick advertising
billboards,
campaigns,
and telephone.
You would never know.
Oh, God.
How bad the school is until you put your child in there.
Well, they're taking part of the budgets and they're putting it into advertisement, and then they're not buying the children books. So the schools have
nothing.
They
don't even believe
the
books anymore.
And then they come back to the parent and they want the parent to pay for that, right? While they make all these high salaries.
And then when they fail, they close the school down and say, see, we can be held accountable. But who are they accountable to when your child don't have a place to go to?
It's just
the board for Mays Prep. Who will they be accountable to?
Right, and as parents of Mays Prep, the board has never formally came to us, introduced themselves. We have no knowledge who this board is.
I mean, yeah, but this is a better system, and you know, and what do they say? You know, it's already under local control. You know, we don't need no local control. We got boards in all these schools. Now, here's a parent saying, you don't even know who the board is.
I have no clue. I mean, and if I don't know, I know it's the other parents at Mays also, the other 200, 300 parents who don't know either. They've never came to us, never reached out to us, and I have a problem with that. How could you not? And my thing to Sarah Houston was I contacted her and I told her I understood that the organization that she was with started this school. She quickly began to tell me how she no longer worked with them. And
she founded the organization.
Right. She no longer worked with them. She hasn't worked with them since that school was started. I'm tired of people passing our babies around. I have 360 babies at Mays Prep, and all of them are my babies. And I will not stop until we get what they deserve.
Let's take our last call in, William. Good morning. Welcome to Noah's Imperative.
Yes, good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
I heard y'all talking about the meetings, but I didn't hear y'all call the meeting over an hour. It's supposed to be on a Monday evening at the Love Church about the name being taken from Landry.
Okay, and that's tomorrow?
No, it's supposed to be this evening, every Monday.
Oh, okay. I didn't know anything about it. So it is this afternoon at the Love Church, you say?
Well, I'm calling to find out, do they still have it?
Oh, I don't know.
I heard it over the weekend on the show, and I'm wondering.
I'm planning on going,
but I didn't hear y'all call that.
And you know, most of the people, William, will call and tell us about a meeting, and we'll announce it. You know, Karen came in with that information. Sometimes I get some stuff at the radio station, but we have no knowledge of it.
Oh, okay. But Ronald got the best idea, I think, about that whole situation.
Then money, yeah. Okay, William, well, hopefully you can make those meetings, too. We'll be announcing it on the radio.
I was planning on going this evening, so at the Love Church, that's why I'm calling to find out if they still have that.
I don't know.
If it's not going on, we sure hope you'll come out to John McDonough High School on Esplanade Avenue at 5 o'clock for the press conference and rally around this issue of school closings and bringing in operators from out of town and all of that craziness.
Okay, yeah, William, I got to run. I got to wrap things up. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Can I say this?
Sure, go ahead.
The one thing I would like to see in our city is I find that we're like crabs in a barrel. It's not about Mays. It's not just about John Mack. It's not just about Landry. It's about the children of New Orleans in general, in every school, in every situation. We get hung up on my school, my school. All of these schools are ours. Mm-hmm. So we need to find solutions for all of the schools. You know, I'm noticing when I go to different meetings, people are getting upset. Oh, well, we're having this and this. It's not that. We need to come together as one. This is the only way we can beat them at their own game. As long as they have us divided and separated, we get nowhere.
You know, you bring up a very good point. On October 14th, 2010, there was a huge meeting over at McDonough 35 High School. And the Charter School Association, I saw them getting these boxes out of their car. In the boxes were red T-shirts. On the back of the T-shirts, it said, "My school, my child, my choice." And I said, "Ooh, wrong message. These are all of our schools, and these are our children. And all of our voices need to be heard in this, because what happens with your school affects my school. What happens with your child affects my child." And so, you know, the movement, the so-called school improvement movement or school reform movement, is refocusing parents to look at only their own without regard to how it affects the whole.
And we always got to take care of our own child. We got to do that. They've made it an individual responsibility. And Ms. Nelson is right. Education is a collective responsibility.
It's all of our responsibility.
But Ms. Nelson, I want to thank you for coming on the air. And I want you to keep us abreast of what happens with that situation. And I also want to thank you for standing up, and not just for your child and your nieces, as you said, but for all of those 360 kids as Mays. And we hope that other parents will follow Ms. Nelson's lead. And we need to keep abreast of this situation. And I think we also need to do a show on just this whole concept of school choice, because as Ms. Nelson said, it's affecting all of us. I think that's something that we want to talk a little bit about, that, because I think, Karen, you have a lot of statistics, and maybe we can get somebody from RSD to come up here and try to explain this, because I can't rationalize it, and anybody else can't rationalize, you know, your child being sent to a school where it had a 78% failure rate, and they're telling you that the school that he was in was failing. I can't rationalize that. So maybe we can get them. If we can't get them, we'll have the discussion anyway, you know. But once again, we want to thank you, Ms. Nelson. Next week, we're going to have Elaine Weiss on, and she is the author of a new study entitled, let me get it straight now, Broader, Bolder Approach to Education. And it's basically a study in three cities, on Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C., that have had the same reforms that we've had here. And they look at the impact of teacher evaluations, school closures, and also increased charter school access. And we all have that here in New Orleans. This study came out last month. It's a very interesting study in terms of how that worked. And I think we heard a little bit about that this morning and listening to Ms. Nelson and Karen. So Elaine Weiss will be here on next week, and we're going to be talking about that. For those of you all that would like to make a donation, and we do need donations to keep this program on the air, you can make a donation at theneworleansimperative.org, theneworleansimperative.org. This program will rebroadcast on also theneworleansimperative.org. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Metro, Richards, New Orleans Education Roundtable, Fallbrook St. Rock, and the Wisdom Reception Center. We'll be back here next week to talk to Ms. Weiss, and hope that you stay tuned for Talk What You Know with Reverend Littleton's and Reverend Jones. Thank you all for listening to New Orleans Imperative, and have a great week.